Good morning. This is our second study in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we are studying a precept Bible study, and we're coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. So we always start each lesson with prayer. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord of all, King of all, holy and righteous God, faithful and true, we come to you in praise and honor and glory to you, Father, for this time that you give us to study your word, that we can come together, that we may learn of you, and that we may know you more. Father, teach us through your Holy Spirit. Guide our minds and our thoughts. May they ever be upon you and our eyes upon Jesus. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Now today, as we're looking at lesson 2, we're in chapter 1. And we want to look back at what we have studied previously. In the overview, we learned that the book of Corinthians is about two main segments. It's divided chapters 1 through 6. The first segment is about divisions, about quarrels, sexual immorality, and lawsuits in the church. And we also learned the second segment in the book of 1 Corinthians is chapters 7 through 16. And these chapters are about marriage, idols, traditions, spiritual gifts, the gospel, and resurrection, and the collection for other saints. Now, as we go forward, we're going to look at the first chapter, and we're looking at verses 1 through 9. And in these verses, I'm going to read quickly, and then we will go back and relate what Paul has said. This is Paul's greeting, and here we see in verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here we see in the very beginning how Paul began his letter. First, he introduced himself by saying that he was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by God's will. And then he introduced Sosthenes, a Christian brother, who was with him when he wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. Now, Sosthenes was probably his secretary, that did the writing for him. So here we want to look at the word called and what it means. Paul said, introduced himself by saying he was called as an apostle. Now basically, the word call means invited. So God is the one who called Paul as Jesus Christ apostle. And then let's look at the list that the church of God at Corinthian, what it's saying to us as we go forward in these verses. We see how Paul describes the church at Corinth, and those are in verses 2 through 9. He says that he was sanctified in Christ, the saints by the calling, and this was the same as all believers that are called in Jesus' name. And then he also says that grace and peace came from the Father and the Lord Jesus, and that he, the Father, enriched him in all speech and knowledge, and he affirmed the testimony about Christ, not lacking in any gift, and also waiting for his revelation or for Jesus' return. And he says, the church will be confirmed, sustained to the end, blameless, guiltless, in the day that the Lord returns. And also, you are called as a church into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking at the word fellowship, what does fellowship mean? It means partnership, community, participation, close association, and to share in. And so the people then of the church, individual believers, they were in partnership with the Son of God himself. They were true believers. Now, looking at this, and looking at today in our churches, do these things relate also to the church now? Yes, it is. It's a list that's the same for all believers, all who in every place call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at verses 10 through 17. And I'll quickly read these. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Cleo's household, that there were contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now, let's see what these verses are about. First, we see that Cleo, a member of this church in Corinth, had informed Paul that there were quarrels among the Corinthian believers. And these quarrels were caused by claiming to follow certain men like Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or Peter. We know Cephas as Peter, and then Christ. So Paul addressed the divisions and the quarrel among them, and those who were saints in fellowship with God's Son, waiting for his revelation, for his second return. So how did he handle the problem? First, he exhorted and appealed to them by the name they were in fellowship with the Lord. And there's about five things that he mentioned here about the church, about the people, that they all agree, that there be no divisions among them, that they may be made complete or united in the same mind, in the same judgment. And that, excuse me, that's possible because they were in fellowship with the Son of God. So that's also possible today for all believers because we are all one in Christ. So today when you look at the churches, do we see some of the same quarrels in the churches today? I'm afraid we do. So next question is, what is Paul's reasoning? And we're going to look at, well, we just looked at that in third. We're looking at verses 13 through 17. His reasoning was that Christ is not divided. And he also said that neither Paul, Apollos, or Cephas was crucified for the believers at Corinth. And they had been baptized, had not been baptized in any man's name but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look now at verses 14 through 17 that we just read. These are about Paul, the verses 14 through 17. And we see that he only baptized Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanas. And he wasn't sent by Christ to baptize. He was sent to preach the gospel. And it seems that some of the believers at Corinth were saying they were of the man who had baptized them. And then in verse 17, he says that, he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel, and to preach it not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." So the cross is not void. It's not emptied of its power. Now then, let's go on to verses 18 through 25 and see what these verses are about. And I will again read these quickly. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world, through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews required a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what then are these verses about? He tells us in the very first verse, he says, for the message of the cross. It's all about the cross. So there's a contrast here between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. To those in the world that are lost, those that are perishing, the cross is foolishness. But those that are saved, it is the power of God. The message of Christ's cross is what leads to salvation. So how is man's or the world's wisdom and cleverness contrasted with that of God and His message? First, we see that the world doesn't come to know God through the wisdom of God. And second, that only happens as a result of believing the gospel. An unbeliever cannot have the wisdom of God until he becomes a believer, and God, through the Holy Spirit, brings a wisdom. So, third, we see that they, the apostles that were called, preached the cross of Jesus. And fourth, they didn't use clever speech, but they just brought the plain message of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, in these verses, here we see he's showing the Jews and the Greeks in contrast. And he said that the Jews looked for a sign, and the cross of Christ was a stumbling block to them. And then the Greeks, or the Gentiles, they search for wisdom. So the cross, of course, is foolishness to them. The world, whether Jew or Gentiles, has a problem with the message of the cross. The cross is the power of God to those who are called, both Jew and Gentiles. It is the power of salvation for those who believe. And this is what the message is that Paul is bringing to these saints here in the church of Corinth. Now, let's look at verses 26 through 31. And I will read these verses. For you see your calling, brethren, he's speaking to the saints there in Corinth, and it's also written for us today, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, He who glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, let's look at these verses and see how that Paul, in these verses, was exhorting the Corinthian believers. And to exhort them is to encourage them and to give them praise. And then he, as he spoke, he told them to consider their calling. Consider it. Their condition when they were saved after God had called them. So there are about five things that he mentioned, and I want to point these out. He tells them that there are not many of them who were considered the wise of their age, and most of them were not mighty or powerful or noble. And number two, he said they were not the most revered people in their society. Now he's talking about those that are called. And number three, he says, but yet they were the ones God called and chose to be his people in that place at that time. So God doesn't always choose the mighty, the powerful, those that are wealthy, those that are of high education. He said that he is not always choosing them, but he chose these that he had chosen because they were the weak ones. And then number four, he says that it was by his, God's doing, that they were in Christ. In other words, we as believers are saved because God chooses us. We are chosen. That's what he is saying. That God himself was doing this. And how did he do it? He did it through his Son, Christ Jesus. His Son, Jesus. We know that God came in the flesh to this earth in the body of his Son, Christ Jesus, as taking on the flesh that he might serve him and be obedient to him by going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world, all who will believe, that they may have eternal life. And he raised him, gave him resurrection on the third day, that we too, as believers, may have eternal life. So it was all by God's doing that we were in Christ. And the fifth thing that we see that he's speaking to these Corinthian believers, Christ became to them God's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So here in this verse, we're seeing that God, that Christ himself, as we become believers, we're given God's wisdom, we're given his righteousness, we're given his sanctification and redemption as believers. We are blessed, we are chosen, we are given all this by the grace of God. Chosen. Let's look at the word chosen. It's important for us as we study the scripture to understand the meaning of the words that are in the scripture. And when you look at the word chosen, you need to understand what it means. And it means in the Greek to pick out of, to choose for oneself, or to select. So we are chosen, we are picked out, we are selected by God to become citizens of His kingdom, to have salvation. So, God chose what kind of people? We saw in these verses that He chose the foolish, He chose the weak, He chose the low, He chose the ones that was despised of the world. He chose those to shame the wise and to shame the strong. So it's by God's doing that all believers are chosen in Christ Jesus. So He is every believer's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How is this possible? When Jesus went away, He told His disciples that He would not leave them comfortless, but He was going to send them a comforter. And that comforter, we know, that comes to every believer is the Holy Spirit. And He is the one that gives all believers wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So what then, as we look at the very end, these last verses, what was Paul's instruction in this chapter? And how does it relate to being in the same mind when he told them that they need to be in the same mind? He says the main thing that he is saying in these verses, in this chapter, is to boast in the Lord, not men, because that will lead to agreement among the church believers if we boast in the Lord and not in men, because we know that it is God who brings salvation and not men, and nothing can be bought. You can't work for it. God, through His Son, is the only way. Jesus said in John 16, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that is what Paul is preaching here in this letter that he is sending to these dear saints that are in Christ Jesus. So next week we will go forward in our study in next week's lesson. So today we're going to end our study in prayer, as we always do. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your precious word. How thankful we are, Father, that Your word is truth, and that Jesus is the truth, that He is the way, that He is the life, and only through Him do we have salvation. Father, teach us, guide us through Your Holy Spirit. May we learn of You and understand Your truth. Give us wisdom and knowledge, Father, that we may proclaim Your word in our lives wherever we go and among all those that You bring us in the presence of, that Your name will be glorified. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.